Oh man, I really suck at keeping things updated. Hi, welcome to Top Rope Horror. It's Ray. How are you? No, I was recording things and just life happens. That's the unfortunate part. Like, I'm deciding to do this when a whole bunch of nonsense is occurring. So I guess it's probably not the smartest thing to do. I'd probably just wait till things simmer down, but then, you know, just. Then there'll be another thing, and then another thing, and another thing. So I just got trudged through. So, what's going on lately? well, I saw a quick beat. I saw a rumor that Ronda Rousey might be retired. No, that was according to Wrestling Observer. Now, that's really the only place I saw it so far. Like, a few other of the news sites were picking up on it, but I haven't really heard anything. I know she's pregnant. And, so it's a very real possibility, because I know she wasn't really, like, because me and my friend talked about this. He's like, well, she'll probably come back, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, she would have been back already, I think, if she wanted to. Because the last time she wrestled was in, WrestleMania 35 and 2019. So I know we had the pandemic and everything last year, but and whatever, but like, she could have easily hopped in and or done appearance or done like a piped in appearance or something if she was that adamant about coming back. So I really think that she's not, you know. And he's saying, oh no, she's gonna. I'm like, I really don't think she is. I think she's, you know, she got her kind of got out of her system. So she's, you know, she's just focusing on starting a family, you know. That's what she's always wanted, and that's what she's trying for. So that's going to be her focus. And he's like, well, maybe after when, you know, she has a kid, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, nah, man, she's going to be I think she's going to be, like, all about that kid, because she's been trying, her and her husband have been trying for so long. I don't think she's going to have a kid and then a couple months down the road be like, okay, I'm gonna get back in the ring. Like, she's gonna be all about that kid personally, you know. And that's good, you know. I'm glad for her, you know. Like, we need more of that instead of just her be like, well, you know, I'm gonna get back in the ring and whatever. No, I think she's really gonna step away from the spotlight for a while and just, you know, do her streaming and whatever and podcast, whatever she does, and then just, you know, maybe do like a one-off appearance. I was hearing she might do like a one-off appearance, which if she does, I really think that would be when Becky comes back, whenever that may be, because that's been like a consistent rumor nonstop. It's like, oh, and she's been trolling people too, Becky. She, like, every time it's a major pay-per-view, she like take a picture of like the gorilla position, or she is cryptic about, you know, coming back, and then, you know, she's just trolling people. You know, granted, you know, she might be backstage, but I don't think she's going to be, you know, at the pay-per-views with, like, Rollins, but I don't think she's going to be coming back for a good while either. You know, it's a matter of when with Becky, I think. I think maybe SummerSlam, because I know SummerSlam's going to, that's kind of like, though, that's a mess in itself. Maybe possibly Survivor Series, I don't know. Or maybe she's just going to give it a full year. Maybe wait for the kid to be a whole year old before she comes back. I don't know. But yeah, while I'm on the topic of that, SummerSlam, what's going on with that? I heard that it's on a Saturday, which is weird. But then I heard, that was because Las Vegas, they were going to have it in Las Vegas, and they're like, well, the date you can have is a Saturday. And then they're like, okay. You know, WWE's like, okay. And then come to find out that the, Manny Pacquiao fight is the same day. So it's one of those things where it's like, are they gonna still be there and do like an outside arena type thing, or like an outside event, or what? Because like, if they're trying to go head to head with Pacquiao, it's not gonna work, you know. They might have to go elsewhere, like an entire, like, you know, I don't know, like Texas, or even, like, I heard rumors that they might even take it to East Rutherford and do it there, like an open air stadium. Like, there's so many places that, I'm sure we're willing to take them in, but it's kind of like they gotta make a choice soon. But but they're still sticking with the Saturday time frame, which is really weird because, you know, it's usually Sundays, or, you know, if it's like WrestleMania, it's like a Saturday Sunday. Like the last 2 years, they did the two night WrestleManias, which is like, I'm all for that, you know. And I heard that people want, tentatively next year is going to be a one night, but a lot of the backstage people are saying they want to do a two night thing again. They want to keep it that way because it keeps the crowds energized and refreshed. And I 100% agree with that. Like I said, I was at Mania 35 and that was a slog. Like, granted, I was all the way up almost like to the, almost, oh God, I must've been like 10, like 15 rows away from the top of the damn stadium. And I was like behind the entrance. So much so that I didn't see anybody come out. Like, I saw the tail end of them coming out. Like, I saw, you know, Triple H come out, but I always saw him like almost towards the ring. Same thing with like Batista. Like, I saw Batista getting ready and getting in that his car, and then when he, you know, the poor bastard, when he stumbled out. But I saw him getting inside the car, ready to go out. Like, we're literally behind the I still call it the Titantron, and like we were able to see, you know, not we meaning like, you know, the people around, we were able to see all the wrestlers coming back through the curtain and running up and down the stairs to get back to get ready, because I guess the it was down below, like the quote-unquote gorilla position was down below more, so they had to like run up these stairs to get ready to run back out. And a few of them, I think it was Tony Nese, when he won the, I believe it was the cruiserweight. You know, he was running through the stairs after he won, and he stopped, and then he, like, he saw, like, you know, everybody's just, like, watching him, so he just, like, lifted up the belt and did a thing, and we're all, like, cheering for him and stuff. But, like I said, it was a grind doing that. It was not pretty. Like, after a while, like, I got there around 2 o'clock, and I didn't leave till, you know, it was after 11 when the thing was finally done, and I was tired. I was exhausted, and, you know, I still live in the state, you know, I live in New Jersey, so it was just like an hour and change drive for me to get back home. But it was still like, I was just like, oh man, I should have gone to a hotel or something. But, you know, if they had done it two nights, I'm sure like it would be a lot more energetic. Just the way it was this past year, like the you can tell from night one to night two, like the general vibe of the crowd, like they're still hepped up, but each night was like, you know, you're like, everybody was energized, everybody was like getting ready, you know, they're excited for each night, as opposed to one long night where you're just like, holy crap, you know. Because after a while, like I said, it gets exhausting. And I couldn't imagine being in a place like Texas or Florida or even Vegas, sitting in that heat, even though it's nighttime. Like, you know, it gets to be towards nighttime, you're sitting in that heat for so long, and you're just like, holy fuck. It's like, I am so over this. I was freezing, so, like, I was more thankful that I was freezing than, like, hot and sweaty, because I'd be even more miserable. But, you know, they need to, I prefer them doing a two-night deal, but I digress, because I was talking about Becky. I feel with Becky too, it was like, she, you know, she's going to get that big pop coming back, but on same token, she almost, the problem, I have no problem with Becky, I love her to death, she's awesome, but the problem I think was, her and Rousey, they needed each other. That's what made that feud so phenomenal, was they played off each other so well. And, you know, because Becky would, like, troll her on Twitter and stuff, and then Ronda would try, but didn't really do that well. But it was just, like, it was almost like a Batman-Joker dynamic. Like, they complete each other. They needed each other no matter what. It's just, like, that's what kept it going. That's what kept the feud fresh and hot. And anytime Becky was, like, feuding with somebody else, it just didn't have that same effect. You know, I know she had the feud of like Charlotte or whatever, but it's like it just didn't have that same feel that she had with Ronda. Like it felt more special. And that was the same with Ronda and anybody else she was feuding with. It just didn't have that same effect. And I feel that that's going to show down the line. You know, like maybe I'm just a cynical fan, but it was just after a while, I was just like, I was kind of getting over the whole man thing. You know, like totally rejuvenated her career, totally like kicks. Like she, I'm sure she was close to being on the chopping block a few times. I don't know this personally, but I'm just assuming the way she was booked towards before she turned into the man. So essentially, like, it, nothing was, her character just wasn't clicking. It was kind of like how when Bayley came to the main roster and it just her, the hugger gimmick just wasn't jiving with the fans. It, you know, worked great in NXT because NXT is a more closed in audience, or more, it's more of an intimate atmosphere. With when you're on the bigger stage, so to speak, it just didn't, it doesn't, it, for some reason, it didn't translate. Like, it translated to some, like some of the kids just, you know, they ate it up. Like, it was because she was a positive role model and whatever for the kids. But as a whole, it just didn't work for her because, you know, how the fans get, they get all cynical and like shit on things. And that was happened with Becky. She was just kind of lost in the sauce for a little bit. And then she started getting more, you know, I wouldn't say heelish, but more like Steve Austin, like that tweener type thing. And then the, I guess you would call it like a saving grace botch when Nia busted up her nose right before the Survivor Series, and then Becky came out the busted nose bleeding, and then she just like put her, like, yeah, had that look on her face and the smile and the blood coming out of her nose and all. Like, that was like a happy accident, because that kind of, that's what kickstarted everything. That was the moment. That was like the Stone Cold Bret Hart moment where Stone Cold was like bleeding profusely, and he's sitting there like screaming, but he refused to quit, and he just passed out. But that image of him with the blood streaming down his face, like, that was his moment. That's what catapulted him, and that's pretty much what helped with Becky. That was just like, it was just like a happy accident, but it was like, that was her moment, you know. That's what solidified her. But yeah, I don't, like I said, I don't know when Becky's coming back. Like, the rumors bubble up around the pay-per-view time, and then it just simmers, especially if she starts trolling people. As far as Ronda goes, like, I'm in the camp that she is done. I'm sure she's gonna have people say, no, that's just Dave Meltzer being Meltzer, not knowing what the hell he's talking about. But I honestly feel she's done, because, like, sometimes she had openly, not talk smack, but just openly just had a very, not a positive thing to say about coming back or anything of that nature. Like, she seemed like she's kind of like done with that chapter. Like, it was something she always wanted to do. She did it, and she's like, okay, I'm good now type deal. Like, I got it out of my system. Like, that's how she sounded, like, on a couple of interviews and stuff when pressed about if she was coming to come back. I don't have anything in front of me because, you know, I always do this when I'm driving. That's my gimmick. But it just feels like, because I'm doing this off the cuff, that's why I kind of ramble. But she just seemed to have that thing of, like, it was kind of like she would come back if they need be. Like, if they really, really wanted her back. And I guess, and if she felt that she was comfortable doing it. And like I said, she could have done something during the pandemic, but I guess she was trying to, you know, she was quarantining like everybody else was and whatever, but she could have easily, like, right before Becky left, she could have popped in doing a thing, right before Becky left because she was pregnant, popped in doing like a satellite thing, like talking crap to Becky or whatever, and then, like, you know, just like running, this is my armchair promoter, booker, we're brain working. Like, I could see, like, Becky's doing her thing with Asuka after Asuka won the Money in the Bank, and it was the actual, it wasn't the title shot, it was the actual title. And then Ronda gets piped, like, just interrupts, like I said, via satellite or whatever, and just runs down the line on it, and just, like, just not destroy Becky, but just, like, go off on her about, like, all the things they've done together, and, like, how, you know, she got lucky at Mania, when she won that three-way against her Becky and Charlotte, and just go down the line, but then like congratulate her on becoming a mother, that kind of thing. Like, get some closure to it, you know? That's why I feel that one-off appearance might be. It might just give some closure to their feud, because there just was no real, like, as a fan, like, I didn't feel there was any closure to it. Like, Becky won great, and that was kind of it. And then Ronda, you didn't see her. So I feel like that there should have been some kind of, like, something. There's got to be something. Like, they got to, like, close that chapter so people stop friggin' going on about it. Not that people go on about it, but just saying, like, so, like, she's got to come out and do the one-off appearance and maybe say that she's done, too. Like, you know, she has the kid now, and she, you know, she sees things differently, and she just wants to be a mother, and she's, like, and she loved her time. She loved her time being in WWE, loved being with the fans, but she has to officially step down, and then just a big thank you. You know, that'd be the biggest thing I would say. It's just like, come out, just do her one-off appearance, say thank you for allowing her to be for accepting her into the fold of wrestling. Because a lot of like athletes that want to be wrestlers, it usually gets, you know, shit on, you know, and it takes a while, or if it's like somebody that's like celebrity of outside, it takes a while for the fans to take to them, you know. Like David Arquette, the guy worked 20 years to, over 20 years to try to, like, save face, not save face, but just try to regain the fans' trust again. And as we saw, if you have watched the Dark Side of the Ring with Nick Gage, he didn't really seem to have a positive experience with that. And then, like I said, Nick Gage kind of just was just like David Arquette, he said that David Arquette kind of just ghosted them after that match, and he didn't seem too thrilled with what had happened. But anyway, like I was saying, like, it just seems like quote unquote outsiders, it takes either the fans accept them or they totally just don't at all. They just shun them, and people like accepted Ronda. So what else is going on? And then this past weekend was Double or Nothing. I didn't get to watch it. I was able to, you know, read highlights and, you know, watch little videos and GIFs and such. And then my friend of mine was watching it, and he was kind of informing me what was going on. I just didn't have, I'll be honest, I just didn't have the money to buy it. But it sounded good. The Leo Rush thing was a little weird. Like, he was the surprise entrant, and then he didn't last that long. And then come to find out that Tony Khan had as a handshake agreement with him, meaning like he was still able to work with New Japan and do what he wanted to do, and not just be locked into a contract with AEW. So maybe that's why they didn't make as a big deal out of it. I'm sure if he was actually signed to a contract, he would have lasted longer, I'm sure, and maybe would have been in one of the final three. You know, keeping Christian Jungle Boy at the end, that was a great deal. That was great. But I'm sure he would have been, like, one of the final guys there. But, realizing that he was on the handshake agreement, then I realized, I was like, okay, so they're not going to try to push him as a, like, a major name, like, in the company. Like, he's, a name within people who know him, but he's not going to be, like, a focal point because he still has obligations to New Japan and other promotions. So then it made sense after that, because a lot of the fans were like, what the hell? They made this, the guy comes out to make a big deal, and then he gets tossed, and then made sense. And then Mark Henry signing was a total shock to me. That one, again, fans were shitting. Some fans were shitting on it. Some fans were like, okay, whatever. But, and this is the point I try to make with people who shit on, like, them quote-unquote signing the wannabes and quote-unquote rejects or whatever from WWE, which I don't like using that term, but they do use this. I know Mark Henry lost a lot of weight because he wants to come back. I forgot what newspaper, they did an article about him and saying he wants to come back to wrestle, to do a couple more matches, that he dropped a lot of weight, and he did. He looks great. But, you know, I guess Vince wasn't, didn't warm up to the idea, and he just took his business elsewhere. And a lot of people were shocked because he he's a very staunch defender of WWE. You know, he's very pro, he's a company man, essentially. And I think he was a scout for a while. Like, I don't know if he was still a scout up until he signed, but, you know, like I said, it was very surprising to see him show up. But I know he's going to be an analysis slash and like commentator or whatever, which is cool. You know, he's not going to be a talent. I'm sure down the line he might actually get in the ring, since that's, he seems very adamant about getting back in the ring. And same thing with Big Show. This is kind of like a paraphrase quote, but he has the itch so bad to get back in the ring that he just wants to like jump in a vat of like cortisone to get rid of that itch. But he's been signed since a couple months now. Paul White slash Big Show, and he has a step, you know, he has a wrestle. So, because a lot of people are like, oh, here we go, it's going to be like WCW and TNA where the old timers are going to be winning championships, this, then the third, and it's like, that hasn't happened. You know, they're sticking with what they signed up for, you know? You know, other than Christian, who, you know, he made it known that he wants to wrestle again, and that's what he wanted. He didn't want to be an announcer. He still has some gas left in the tank, and he saw that what he saw what Edge was doing, and he's like, I can do that. You know, he's like, I'm going to do that, and you know, he's doing great. Like, that's the thing. Like, it seems in WWE, he was never given that chance. He was always going to be in the shadow of Edge. No matter how hard he tried, like he was always had that small cult following, but he always shined like crazy when he was in other promotions. Like when he was in Impact for a while, or TNA at the time, he was one of the top guys. And now AEW, I'm not saying he's a top guy, but he's doing very well. You know, the dude's amazing. Like, I've always liked him. He was like one of those, like, I never like said he's like the greatest of all time, but he was one of those guys that was just very good in the ring, and he always put on a good match. He knows, he understands wrestling, he knows the psychology of it. But it's just unfortunate that he was always going to be in the shadow of Edge, no matter what he tried. You know, he could have won like every championship in the world, but as soon as he steps foot through WWE, then it's like, you're Edge's friend, you know? No, there's Edge's friend, Christian, there's his best friend in the whole world, blah, blah, blah. That's unfortunate, because the dude has a hell of a career. Just as much as Edge does. But other than that, like, you know, Paul White hasn't wrestled. You know, I don't think Mark Henry's going to wrestle for a while. And if he does wrestle, it's going to be between him. I'm sure it's going to be between him and Paul White. Like, I 100% feel that's how it's going to be. Sting is another one that's, you know, he's doing very well where he's at. You know, I saw clips of the match with his tag match with Darby, and he did amazing. You know, for his age, he was fantastic. And especially for a guy who hasn't actually wrestled actively since, like, what, 2015, 2016, or whatever it was, he's didn't miss a beat. And, but again, he's not being pushed to the moon. He's not a focal point of the company. You know, they didn't close out the pay-per-view. They had a hell of a good match, but they weren't, like, you know, they weren't the face of the company. How old, like, TNA during the Dixie Carter years, or WCW, you know, when Nash and the guys were the bookers, like they were pushing those guys as the face of the company, but in AEW they're not, and that's what a lot of people are not like grasping. And but the same could be said when like WWE hires somebody else, though. You know, like WWE when they rehired Goldberg. He did two squash matches, destroyed The Fiend, and, like, killed any, like, momentum he had. And I'll go down in flames saying that one. That was bullshit. You know, why would they allow, like, this character who's, like, essentially a super, like, Jason. He's a Jason Voorhees, The Fiend. He's a supernatural character. Why would they write, then he, you know, he does all these fantastical things. Why would they have him lose in mere moments to a man who's a 50-something-year-old man who hasn't actively wrestled in years and years and years? Like, how is anybody else going to be afraid of a character like The Fiend after that? Like, that's just, it's bullshit. And the same thing with, like, Lesnar. Now, like, I know everybody has their opinion on Lesnar. I do, too. But the thing with Lesnar is that he was way more active than Goldberg. And, well, a lot younger, too. But Lesnar's still seen as, like, a legitimate threat no matter what. The Fiend was just destroyed. But, like I said, WWE does a different way of business when they kind of rehire the quote-unquote legends. They kind of make them the focal point. So, if anything, if people are going to talk shit on AEW about, you know, hiring Mark Henry and all those guys, just be like, yeah, they're doing what WWE does. But they don't. And I'm not being an AEW stan whatsoever. I do like the company, and they do things a lot. They kind of grasp what's going on with the business now. That the being stuck to one company is not just how it's going to work anymore, especially after the pandemic. Like, these guys got to eat. These guys and girls got to eat. So they got to understand the handshake deals. That's what it should be. Me and my friend were talking about this the other day. They should just really focus more on the handshake deals and do short-term booking. Kind of like the way it's coming full circle. Like, it looks like they're coming back to the territories again, in a way. The only difference were with the territories was that you'd come in and, you know, you'd come in, do your feud, and then if you, like, lost or whatever, then you leave and go to the next territory. But back then, you know, you didn't have the internet or anything of that nature, so people, like, in this general area, you know, the Northeast, didn't know what was going on down south. You know, they didn't know who's who in the South, in the Midwest and stuff. It was kind of like, you know, you heard rumblings, but you didn't hear, you didn't know, you really didn't know, you know, because they would come into a different territory fresh, and they were able to start new. You know, now that's obviously different. Like, everybody, they practically know when you should know. But, you know, I'm a fan of doing, like, just handshake deals, kind of like short-term booking instead of long-term booking. But WWE focuses on the long-term, and it just ends up not, it's just not, that's not the way anymore, you know? And I know that's why Triple H has said a few times, he's like, you know, we're always open for business, but we always look at the long-term plan, what's in it for everybody involved, for the long-term, not the short-term. It's like, dude, you gotta strike when that shit's hot. That's what's helping AEW. They jump on it when it's hot, you know, and when it cools off, then they leave. The problem with WWE is they jump on stuff after the fact it's hot or before it's hot, and then when it is hot, they don't touch it. Like, for example, with, like, the whole, like, Bullet Club thing. They could have easily worked out a deal with somebody to bring them in when it was, you know, Bullet Club still somewhat, not immensely popular, but so popular. But Benton, was it 2017, 2016 or whatever, when it was, like, at its peak, when Kenny and the Bucks were running it, and then Cole was doing his thing. They could have easily worked out a deal with Ring of Honor / or even New Japan to just be like, all right, have them come in, do like a NWO DX invasion angle thing on NXT. Just do it on NXT, because do it before, like, Balor even left to go to the main roster. Just have them come in and then start a mini feud with that, because at the time, I still have it. It's a Balor Club shirt, but it looks similar to, like, a Bullet Club style. You know, it doesn't have the skull, but it has, like, a similar, like, that spray paint look. You know, that spray paint stenciled look. And, you know, do something along the lines of that. Just have them come in and just be like, yo, you know, like, just screw with the former leaders. Like, screw with Balor, screw with AJ. Like, they should have done that when it was popular. You know, if they do something now, like, I'm sure it will create a buzz, but it's not going to be as important or as significant as it was, you know, a couple of years ago. But, so that's what I'm saying, like, short-term deals are the best thing, you know, short-term handshake, and let the other guys work for other promotions. Well, what's the harm in that? Like, you know, the Lucha Brothers, Jesus Christ, every time I look, and there's like a somewhat, you know, bigger, not big, but like somewhat bigger indie promotion running out there, chances are you'll see one of the two on there or both on the poster. And then they go in AEW and do their thing. It's like, how hard is that to let other guys do that now? Especially with how limited things have become. And, you know, like, say Raw is like 3 hours long. Like, half of it's recaps, you know? Or half of it is just, like, meaningless feuds are rehash after rehash. Like, how many times are we going to see Lashley versus McIntyre now? You know, it's like, let somebody else take the helm. You know, like, you have all these guys sitting backstage and catering, just give them that time. NXT's even suffering. Like, I don't have, I'm not as invested in NXT like I used to be. The storylines aren't there anymore, you know? And it's like TakeOver's in a couple weeks. And I'm like, I totally forgot about it. I was reading an article and it's like, oh yeah, TakeOver's like a two weeks or whatever. I'm like, holy shit, it is. They have like, they don't even have a card yet. And, you know, it's not like back in the couple, even like two, like a year or two ago when it was, the Undisputed Era was like running shit then. You know, that was like their version of a bowl club, I guess. But they kept it down to very minimal members, which was cool. But like I said, NXT isn't as vibrant as it was. You know, like the storylines are not that great. You know, the most popular storylines right now are like comedy feuds. You have DiBiase and Grimes. You know, that's literally just a legend versus like I don't want to call him a newcomer, but like a guy that not many people know. So it's kind of given Grimes the rub. And then you have Dexter Lumis and Hartwell with their rom-com weird ass, whatever the hell that's going on there. I mean, that's the only captivating feud going right now. You know, for a while they're pushing ZLE and that whole thing, and then all of a sudden that went away, but it looks like it's coming back. I mean, I don't know. And then when they broke up Undisputed Era, that was, you know, that was a long time coming, I guess, but there was no payoff, really. You know, Roderick Strong quit, quote unquote, and you haven't heard hide nor hair of him. Like, it's like, but he's still listed as a superstar, so I was like, well, what happened? Are they going to do a follow up on that? O'Reilly, he's awesome, but he's kind of just not. It's almost like he needed Balor. It's kind of like a Becky and Ronda thing. Like, when he was feuding with Balor, that was phenomenal. You know, that's what he needed. You know, he needs like something like that, because nothing's just clicking, you know. And that's about it. But like I was saying, like, guys who are just sitting backstage doing nothing, let them go elsewhere. You know, let them pop up on Ring of Honor, even AEW, or if they're able to, a New Japan thing. You know, I know Japan's kind of extending their quarantining, so New Japan's been canceling dates lately. Let them do things there. You know, let them go branch out. Let them even do smaller shows, because, you know, the smaller shows are coming back. Let them just do something. Don't let them just sit there and collect a paycheck, because, you know, that most people would find that great, just to sit there like, oh, great, I can sit on my ass and just collect, like, a six-figure or whatever contract and just sit home. That's not how wrestlers work. You know, they want to increase their brand, they want to be known, they want to get their face out there, and just sitting at home, people lose interest, and then, or they wonder what happened to them, or it comes to a point where they'll be like, nobody cares anymore. You know, like they come back, and everyone's like, oh yeah, that guy, and then everyone's like, and so, like they got to stay active, and that's, and I think Ali said that too, similar sentiment. He said, you know, because him and Ricochet have been tearing up on Main Event. That's the thing. Nobody watches Main Event, but, you know, they're still getting something. But he went up to Vince. He went to Vince's office. He was saying, and he told him, he's like, look, I know what's going on because they broke up the Retribution thing. He's like, but if you guys don't want to use me, I get it. But he's like, I'm the kind of guy, like, I got to use it or I'm going to lose it. So either let me have Ricochet, let us do our thing for a little bit, or just let me know what's going on, essentially. I think in a way he was kind of saying, like, either you guys got to use me or just release me, because this is not doing it for me. And that dude's got a family. He's got several kids. And I think he has another on the way. I could be wrong. But, you know, he's got a family to take care of. So it's like, but also too, he knows his worth. He knows he's talented. And he knows he could take that talent elsewhere. He'd be phenomenal in like AEW or even New Japan if he would want to do that. You know, he's that damn good. Just like Ricochet. He's another one that's like, you know, he pops up on Raw and stuff, and then that's it. You know, like, they're not utilizing these guys properly. I know Ricochet showed up last night, but it's like, all right, so, but what? Where's that going to go? You know, he fought Sheamus, and he beat Sheamus, but then Humberto Carrillo came in and then beat Sheamus, and then he beat Sheamus too, but he actually busted up Sheamus's nose, which that sucks, but the story's going to be Sheamus and Carrillo. It's not going to be Sheamus and Ricochet. And, you know, it's kind of like they just put him out there just say, oh yeah, remember this guy? That type of deal. So it's, they need to just let these guys, like, spread out, you know? Like, if they know, if creative doesn't have anything for these guys for a good stretch of time, let them do something else. How long was Bo Dallas just sitting around? No, he wasn't doing nothing. He was getting, like, a real estate license and real estate business going. But how long was he not on TV? Like, over, well over a year. But he was, you know, collecting money, which, whatever, that's great. But, you know, like, that could have been, he could have been doing something else. You know, he could have been wrestling elsewhere if he wanted to keep wrestling. Like, do an agreement thing where it's like, okay, when there's nothing going on, you know, to have like a contract, but like if there's nothing going on and you're able to get other work, then we kind of tweak the pay raise to pay a little bit, you know? Like, he, like you're not going to go wrestle in, say, AEW for like 3-4 weeks and still bring home X amount from us. You know, we're going to balance it out. Like, we take a chunk, a percentage away from whatever they give you. Like, work something out like that. I mean, I don't even know if they're legally able to do that. I don't know. I don't know the law. I'm not a whatever. But I'm just saying, like, work something out where that everybody's happy type of deal. And not just locked into a contract and they can't do anything. And they're wasting precious years of their career just sitting at home. You know? Or sitting in catering, just hoping somebody just comes up and like, oh, yeah, we got something for you. I mean, I know Aleister Black and Big E seem to be going into a feud, but they weren't even on SmackDown last week. But they're like, oh, we're just letting it simmer a bit, I heard. All right, we'll see this week. Because, like, you can't let it simmer too much, because then what's going to happen is everybody's, you know, it's going to be like another thing where they go, that they're going to say, oh, well, there's nothing for them, you know? And then you're back to square one. And that's another guy, Aleister Black, my God. That's another one that needs to, like, he either needs to get out of that entirely, like his contract or something, or just they need to do something with him. And I'm hoping, yet again, his other resurgence, something happens. I do like how he's keeping it in character, though, wearing the different colored contact from his thing with Rollins last year when he, like, stomped his eye out. But I'm hoping that, like, they use him properly, because that's an immense talent that right there that they're not utilizing whatsoever. You know, like, if quote unquote Vince doesn't get it, fuck it. You know, let the guy just do what he does best. How hard is this to just let them be who they are? You sign them for a reason. Let them be why you sign them. That's what I never understood about this company. It's like, you sign these people, but you don't let them be the person that would put them on your radar. You know, you're like, ah, oh, now, well, we're going to make you like this. It's like, no, just, we have another idea for you. It's like, why, if it's working for them, let them run with it. Tweak it a bit if need be, but why just change out the character entirely and then work with stuff and then blame them when it doesn't get over the crowd, you know? I get it. They want, like, somebody who's, like, multi-talented and can work whatever, but, you know, like, I get flustered. Just let them be who they're. Let them be who they want to be. Let them do their thing. You know, like Ricochet. He's not the best promo in the world. He'll probably tell you that. Just let the dude do his talking in the ring. That's what he's good at. Give him a mouthpiece if need be. You know, like, that's the other thing too. They want these guys able to just be. Not have a mouthpiece unless it's like a special case, like Roman. Like Roman does, he kind of doesn't need Paul Heyman, but, you know, Paul Heyman makes it better. Lesnar definitely needed one. Lashley needs one. When Heyman was CM Punk, that was not needed at all, but it made it so much better because they just played off each other so well. But certain guys most certainly need a mouthpiece, no matter how many acting classes they go, that some of them just don't have that part of them that can do it. And that's okay. You know, let his promo be what he does in the ring and just have somebody else, have him just have a hype guy. Like when Lashley had Leo Rush, he was, and same thing with, like, an MVP now. Like, they're his hype men. Give him, give a guy like Ricochet that. Aleister Black doesn't really need it because he has like the, you know, he's very good with his cryptic promos. But like, if Vince doesn't understand his character, then boo on Vince. That's a 70-something-year-old man. What's he like? I know he knows the business and he's this genius and all this stuff, but it's like, on the same token, it's like, just so what, dude? Just because you don't get it doesn't mean other people don't. That, you know, that just because other people don't agree with you. Like, I don't, I get his character. You know, like, the same thing with, what the hell is his name? I forgot his name. He was the pirate. And then they put him, saddled him with, the one woman, and they said he was a sister, and it turned to like an almost like a borderline incestuous thing. It was really creepy, but it was during when Pirates of the Caribbean was first blew up, and he had the move was like Walk the Plank, which is like the Spanish Fly. I forgot his name. At first, Vince was like, "I don't get it," and he's like, "Well, it's like Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, Jack Sparrow, blah, blah, blah." He's like, "What's that?" Like, he never saw the movie, never even heard of the movie, like. And that always stuck in my brain when I read that. Then it's going back, you know, obviously when Pirates of the Caribbean first came out, was that 2002, 2003, or whatever it was? That always stuck in my brain that Vince never understood the character because he never saw the movie. It's like, all right, great, you don't get it, but other people do. Well, anyway. This was just a long ramble about nothing. I'm just laying it out there. So, I'm going to cut this short because I just realized it's like 40 minutes long. And if you hung in there, God bless you. But I'm going to try to keep things more consistent. I swear, I say it all the time. But I have a lot of personal stuff going on, so I'm trying my best. So hopefully things get better, all I can say. So have a good one. Be well. I'll see you later.